Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. All right, we've only got a short time with our esteemed guest today, Mr. Larry Pratt. Discussion of all things liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Headline, it is showtime. House Intelligence Committee holds first, quote, televised public Trump impeachment hearing. It all starts today. Propaganda as showtime starts, Larry.
It certainly sounds like it. The chairman of that committee, Mr. Skiff from Burbank, California, movie land, where unreality is the main reality, is intent on trying to discredit the president. And he's been caught lying like a rug about things the president supposedly said just were not true. And instead of saying, oh, my bad, no, it was just a parody, he wants us to believe. The man, I don't think, has any integrity left at this point. And anything that this committee produces, and it's a committee that's a creature of the will of Chairman Schiff, I don't think it's going to be very convincing that there was a high crime or a misdemeanor in the sense of the Constitution that was committed. Basically, they're trying to impeach the president because he was elected. I remember vividly Congresswoman Maxine Waters, 2 days after the president was elected, saying that we've got to impeach him. We've got to impeach 45. And she has had that drumbeat continue from that time until the present. Now,
in other words, let me stop you there for a second, Larry, because I think you hit on a critical point that I want to vet for a little bit here. If you call for the impeachment of someone so early like that with literally zero evidence of any kind that has credibility or legitimacy aside from partisan politics, okay, and you literally were elected by a private group, in other words, a Democratic Party. So you got the Democrat and the Republican parties, which are not even literally part of our government whatsoever. They're private enterprises. And when you literally have so many of us disenfranchised because we're not part of these, quote, private parties, and they're not part of the United States government in any way, and they use this divisive idea of a Democratic National Committee, they use these elected officials that were launched to their positions by that private organization, if you will, controlling the primaries, controlling the delegates, controlling the et cetera, et cetera. Then you kind of come down to this idea and you say, if they're calling for impeachment that quick, you almost wonder if there ought to be a law and or repercussions that says, hey, you don't have a legitimate claim here. You're trying to manipulate the court of public opinion. You're literally peddling fake news with your stature in this private organization, pretending that it's official government business when it clearly is not. It's partisan politics at best, and it borders on criminality if you keep up the narrative when you know that it's false. Now, that might be a high bar, a high standard to meet, but I'm saying at some point there's no repercussions on the other side. She can lie, she can deceive, she can use the Democratic National Committee at her disposal, she can use her elected office, in other words, give it the official government kind of stamp of approval, even though it's not literally there, it's there by inference or there by position. At some point, there's high crimes and misdemeanors on the other side, sir.
Oh, without any question. And essentially what I see happening is an effort to say that if you disagree with me, that's impeachable. And that, of course, is destruction of any civil discourse in a democratic republic such as we're supposed to have. So Maxine Waters set the tone for a good deal of the rest of her party, and I think they will pay. They won't pay in a court of law, likely, but I think if things go the way I see them heading now, all the way to next November, then I see the Democrats taking getting quite a comeuppance from voters who are going to tell them what they think of this charade, this political charade. That it's really I've marveled ever since this began. Here you have a guy that wasn't supposed to win a primary. Then he wasn't supposed to win a general election. And when he does, the first thing some of the Democrats start talking about is impeachment. That, it seems to me, cheapens the whole word of impeachment. And they're trying to use that as a tool to accomplish what they weren't able to accomplish at the ballot box, because when the people heard what they stood for, people said, no, thank you.
And you got to ask the question then, what's going to happen? They might take a beating in the court of public opinion if these hearings are televised, if people realize they're fraudulent. But here's the problem. I think just like, what's her name, Christine Blasey Ford or whatever, I think that they can just get up there and absolutely lie. I think like the Roy Moore situation, I think they can blatantly make false allegations, literally bear false witness, with no repercussions. And if that's the case, I'm not so sure that people will get the truth. And if they don't, then it amounts to, beyond bearing false witness, it's vote fraud.
That's clearly what the Democrats are hoping they're going to be able to pull off. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that. They've managed to energize the Republican base. And there are members of the Republican caucus in the Congress who aren't buying that scenario either, and are going to fight. We've seen a couple of them early and often doing battle. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and Mark Meadows of North Carolina. And these two, along with some other members of the Republican caucus, have been pretty steadfast in their opposition to this, pointing out what it's all about. And, yeah, they'll be able to get their impeachment. But when they send it over to the Senate, if it doesn't meet with the satisfaction of the Judiciary Committee chairman, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who is the chairman of the presiding committee, as he has said, and I tend to believe he's serious, it's the whole measure is dead on arrival when it gets there. And I think likely the polls will support that by the time he makes that decision to pull that trigger. So I think the Democrats have put themselves into a very difficult position, and they don't seem to have left themselves a credible way out. They insist on going deeper and deeper into the swamp, and guess what, fellas? That swamp has lots of quicksand, and you're in it, and I don't see Lindsey Graham throwing them a lifeline. I don't even see Mitch McConnell throwing them a lifeline. He's Mr. Collegiality among the senators. As Republican leader, he often has been very prone to compromise. But I think they've got most of the Republicans, if not all of them, with a backbone now on this issue. And the Democrats are going to be pretty sorry sacks come next November, because I don't see how they get out of the mess they've made. They are so angry that they don't even stop to think. And that's very dangerous. Anytime any of us get so angry that we're not going to regard the consequences of our actions, we're just going to double down. Well, you can double down right head first into the swamp and drown.
Hey, Kurt, do you want to chime in on this one? It seems to me that, you know what, the Democrats might have a shot at manipulating public opinion and using theater in televised hearings to let people literally perjure themselves and flat-out lie. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, we've always said he who owns the media controls the makes the rules. And bottom line is there's a lot of media that's held by that insider Kingman type of crowd, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's not over hardly at all at this point. So we don't know how it's going to turn out. But if I had to say what I think it's likely to be, then I think unless I see some change in the Democrats, they've got themselves in a real predicament. And one of the parts of their predicament that maybe wasn't so easy to predict, and bless their heart, how could they have known? But actually, I think the Republicans are going to fight, and probably going to fight fairly well and smart, and that's almost unprecedented. And so you can understand how the Democrats might have miscalculated, because whoever saw Republicans fighting hard and smart?
So what surprises me, though, Larry, is that they've actually been able to take it this far. You would think this would be shut down, that Congress members would realize, instead of just playing the, again, partisan game, they're so partisan in their politics that a Democrat means more than honor and the truth. They know they don't have the pay dirt on the Donald. They know that they just want to manipulate public opinion against him in an election year. That's why this private organization known as the Democratic Party is literally committing vote fraud, or at the least tampering with the voters' minds by fake news. They don't have the goods. They're hoping the hearings will produce the goods.
Absolutely.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about that with Larry Pratt in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-Year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network and hear Dr. Reed live Tuesday afternoons during the Reed Hour and by podcast at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details.
All right, so a quick final comment on these hearings that start today from Larry Pratt, then we'll move to another story. Larry's got to go at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to be very quick here on this one. But the bottom line is, if they are using the hearings to get the pay dirt, that's kind of what I don't understand, then it's literally criminal activity, though. There's no probable cause. There's no due process. There's not even a situation where the president can face his accuser. They say it's not necessary because all the evidence has been corroborated and vouched for by somebody else. That doesn't change the fact that you have the right to due process and the right to face your accuser, nevertheless, to cross-examine, to find out where they got the information. Okay, but we're avoiding fundamental principles of our republic here. But here's what I don't understand, Larry. The mainstream press has so much power, and the Democrats have so much power, it's almost like the House and the courts control the Senate and the executive. I mean, I don't understand it, and it seems like there should be pushback where, hey, Let's prosecute Schiff. Let's prosecute Hillary. Let's prosecute Christine Blasey Ford. Let's prosecute all these different people that literally are allowed to have this, quote, stage with no evidence. And what they're doing is using these hearings to try to manufacture the evidence. A little tidbit here, a little bit here, a bearing false witness there. And still, at the end of the day, the president of the United States and the courts are at odds. The House and the Senate are at odds to the point where the weakest groups have the most power. Am I crazy? All right, we might have lost Larry. Kurt, do you want to respond to this?
Well, I agree with what your analysis is there, Sam. And it sure seems like what we basically do is, sit there and go back and forth, and all of us wonder why justice isn't served, for example, with Hillary or so many others. The king men seem to, get by always, while the free men basically battle back and forth and wonder what's going on. It's amazing to me to watch the whole thing, and it just seems like each day, hey, maybe we'll get somewhere, but it seems like more and more we have less and less real justice in America.
Well, I think that point of view might be shared by a growing number of Americans, because it's pretty obvious that when you don't let the president's attorney there to hear the witnesses, to cross-examine the witnesses, to do all of the kinds of things that can happen during that process. That's based on a biblical principle called iron sharpening iron. And if there's no way for the iron to sharpen the iron, then you really don't have an American system of justice. And I think that's what Schiff is trying to do. I don't know if he would put it that way, of course, but that's exactly what he's trying to do, away with those pesky principles of due process, which just make it more difficult to prosecute somebody And he's not interested in justice. He's not interested in the Constitution. He's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal interested in imposing his view on America, because he knows that he knows better than all of the rest of the people that elected Donald Trump. They made a terrible
mistake. But Larry, what do we do when this national committee or this party, this Democrat group, can literally bear false witness, literally lie? They're a private organization. They're not part of the government. But you've got the House at odds with the Senate. You've got the courts at odds with the president. You've got the weakest, in my opinion, branches. The House should be weaker than the Senate to some degree. Now, I get that there's a balance of power, but okay, the Senate is really the decision maker at the end of the day on impeachment. But yet you have the courts and the House, and it's a fractionalized House, because it's only the Democrats who have a slim majority in the House, comparatively speaking, compared to the other branches and compared to the whole checks and balances system. And the weakest have more power than the strongest, right?
Well, all of that doesn't necessarily gainsay the fact that I think the American people are in a growing mood to spank the Democrats pretty hard in the next elections.
Well, I pray you're right, and that's the saving grace, is that the people have their will at the end. It's fine, except for as this envelope continues to get moved, or this line continues to get moved, it's going to be the order of the day that they commit fraud and perjury and border on treason and insurrections. And somehow we hope that the system saves us from that rather than prosecutes for the criminal activity. And I pray we can survive this, but time will tell. We'll just, I guess, watch, quote, Showtime and see what happens. Final story before the end of the hour, Larry, before the half hour when you got to go, that I want to get to. I guess lawsuit against gunmaker is allowed to continue. Supreme Court cleared the way for relatives of Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting victims to sue the Remington Arms Company because, I guess, the shooter used their rifle. They're the makers. And it's a big battle. The case is Remington Arms versus Soto, or the Soto is Soto versus Bushmaster, because that's the kind of gun that was used. Anyway, the bottom line is the courts are saying, hey, you know what? This lawsuit can go forward. There was a law since 2005 preventing gun manufacturers from liability in these kind of unhinged crimes. Nevertheless, now the gloves are off and they're going after Remington, sir.
Well, I think you've described it well. The purpose of the law was to protect gun makers from suits that were brought against the gun maker because he made a gun. The liability law was intended to be applied when you make a gun and, to use a radical example, the gun blows up in your face, or something equally of a malfunction. That is not what happened in this case. A dirtbag used the gun, just as he could have used gasoline or automobiles or knives or any other number of things. So the court, I'm afraid, made a terrible decision here by essentially overturning a law of Congress.
You know what it's akin to, Larry?
And explaining what was wrong with the law.
You know what it's akin to? You know how they have Brute 33 aftershave?
Okay.
It's akin to suing those guys if a man puts that on and then goes and rapes somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a brute. They're recommending that he should be a brute, right?
Well, it has nothing to do
see,
with
crazy
what happened. I take your point, and that's one of many, many ways to illustrate what's wrong with this and what the law was intended to prevent. And the court really did something pretty slimy here, because they didn't take the law on head on and say, well, it's unconstitutional because X, Y, and Z. They just pretended as if the law wasn't even on the books. That is pretty outrageous.
That's what they did when it comes to Roe versus Wade and murder, too. They just rejected all precedents, all common sense, all constitutionality, and they just perpetuated their activism from the bench.
Exactly. That's not a bad analogy. And we were telling people at the time that once they got away with Roe v. Wade, they would be doing things in family law, which they, you know, courts, not the Supreme Court yet. Because the Obergefell decision did a lot to protect sexual deviancy. And now we're going even farther abroad, where the court is just openly legislating without any regard whatsoever to what they should be doing. So, yeah, it's I would say this is perhaps even a bigger crisis, because a lot of people look at the Supreme Court as the last word, and it's not. The people are the last word.
All right. It seems to me that if we're not very careful on this one, though, they're going to literally backdoor obliterate our gun rights on this one. Because, again, the court has too much power, and there seems to be no accountability when they abuse that power.
That seems to me to be the situation. Indeed, we are in agreement on that for sure. I think this was a very dangerous decision, or shall we say a non-decision decision, that the court made. Very slippery, very slimy. Catch us if you can.
Any final words on this before Larry goes, Kurt?
Well, I think he's got it nailed, and he's our source almost right there in the swamp, Larry, and we pray for you because of...
I heard that.
I mean, where you are, I mean, it's a dangerous spot.
Well, I appreciate that. That is something that I've been aware of for the many years that I've been doing battle in the swamp. So, keep those prayers coming, my friend. Thank you so much.
Larry, we know you got to fly early today. Thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule for us. Godspeed. We'll chat soon, sir.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.
There he goes. Larry Pratt doing a phenomenal job as always. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk straight ahead.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. public hearings in the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump getting underway this morning on Capitol Hill. Career diplomats William Taylor and George Kent testifying before the House Intelligence Committee. In some election news, a short time ago, Ohio Congressman and former 2020 presidential candidate himself, Tim Ryan, endorsed Joe Biden for president. Hillary Clinton ruling out another run for the White House, at least for now. The former Secretary of State explaining her position in a British radio interview yesterday.
Never, never, never say never. And I will certainly tell you, I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to think about it. But as of this moment, talking to you, that is absolutely not in my plans.
Clinton says she does plan to help elect one of the Democrats next year, saying she wants President Trump to, in her words, be retired. And this is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ. What? Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits. Come on, Fred, maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Over 200 million Americans are shivering because of an Arctic air mass. The freeze is starting to move east today, dropping temperatures from New England southward to Florida. Dean Foods, the nation's biggest milk producer, files for bankruptcy.
A significant drop-off in milk consumption in the U.S. is blamed on many different reasons. For one, Americans have much more to drink, choosing energy drinks, vitamin water, or even bottled teas. Also, protein and breakfast bars are taking over for cereals in the morning. And there's a variety of milk substitutes on the market now. Nielsen data shows that sales of cow milk have dropped an average of 6% per year over the last 4 years. Dean employs 16,000 people and operates 60 dairy processing facilities.
USA Radio's Wendy King. Singer-songwriter John Legend's been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2019. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we're so busy, it's been hard to get to all the news we have. On Monday, we had on Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. We talked about Happy Armistice Day or Veterans Day, wishing each other a happy day. But you know what? We should really talk about a reverence or a grateful Veterans Day. That'll be much more fitting, by the way. Armistice, by the way, that means truce or an agreement to end the fighting. Yes, ending the fighting around the world would truly be a reason to celebrate, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about why politicians like to make war. Two primary reasons. One, they like to please their corporate cronies, which donate big time to their campaigns. And they also like to extend the life of the petrodollar, the fake money tied to oil. Yes, War is a Racket, ladies and gentlemen. That's a booklet. War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler. We also talked about why citizens should oppose war. The U.S. has been at war, believe it or not, 93% of the time of our nation's history since 1776. In other words, there have only been about 20 to 25 years that we're not at war. It's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. Let's celebrate Veterans Day in a responsible way today, folks. Let's realize the untold abuses of war. Let's end our wars. Now, you say, Sam, why do you highlight that? It's days after the... Because it's important to understand that we don't just celebrate Veterans Day the day it is. We should celebrate in a responsible way our country all the time and be appreciative for the veterans. We also had on second hour Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, with incredible commentary and more. When is war really morally and unconstitutionally justified. Is war justified ever? Yes, but very limited. We talked about that. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Monday. Without further ado, I wanted to get Larry on really quick about this Supreme Court case because, man, it is crazy indeed. Kurt, you sent me a batch of headlines. Let's start there.
Very good, Sam. What we've got, ladies and gentlemen, like Sam said, there's just boatloads of news, and we try to bring it to you as quickly as we can. Here's a batch that was kind of piled up on my phone. One of them says, man finds job after handing his resumes out on street. I thought it was a good story because this guy's going after a job, and he found it, and he was, instead of out on the street having a little sign that says, we'll work for food, he was actually handing out his resume, and he got a job. Then you got the next one, Donald Trump has fired, demoted, or suspended over 8,000 Veterans Affairs employees since taking office. You know, that's part of the promises he made about getting rid of the swamp, and that swamp, boy, that just... cruises those swamp monsters are so many places, and
yeah, that's for
I
sure.
Think you know. Then you got the
all right,
professor.
Hold on. So before we move on to another headline, Diane from Utah wants to chime in. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
You're live on the radio.
I just wanted to say, when it comes to war, I think it's more than corporate. I know that plays a lot into it, but there are people that are anti-Christian. They get these Christian nations warring against each other. I was listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and they aired a interview that Alex Jones did with the man who started Russia Today. And he was talking about how there are now more Christian churches being built in Russia than any other nation on this earth. And yet... we're being brainwashed into thinking that they are our enemy and that they're bad. And the very people who are anti-Christian, who hate Christian societies, love to see one Christian nation warring and killing members of the other Christian nation.
All right, so let me respond to that because I agree with your point to a great degree. In the name of religion, there's been all kinds of atrocities committed. If you take government and religion, more crimes have been committed under those two, quote, manipulated banners than any way in the world's history. And so your point's well taken. I think oftentimes it's corrupt government and people who use these religions as their banner, as their flag, who pervert the cause. Okay, so a lot of Muslim people might be peaceful, but there's a percentage that literally weaponize, Islam and weaponize Christianity and weaponize these things. So I'll give you an example. The Zionist state of Israel by the government, in my mind, is evil. However, a lot of the Jewish people and a lot of the individuals that are there and a lot of the, historical biblical references aren't evil. It's the manipulation of it via governments and some of these things. So what I'm saying is a lot of times it's manipulated.
Necessarily part of the government, they call them Zionim, and they're very racially cohesive. They like to be loyal to one another. That's the way they're raised. And even though they're not maybe a member of the political establishment, they're loyal to it, and they'll assist when asked, but I don't blame religion. I think it's an attack on Christianity is what I think it is.
Yes, but a lot of crimes have been committed under religious point, religious banners is what I'm saying. Those who would pervert a given religion. And so all I'm saying is that a lot of these criminal activities happen through government and or a false banner of under religion, whatever it be. Let's persecute the Christians. Let's attack somebody because of their religion, or let's use their religion as a way to attack. There's a lot of perversions under those banners. And your point's well taken that, hey, the Russian people aren't our enemies. However, there are people in the Kremlin and there are people in the Russian governments or the old Soviet unions that are still hardliner communists as well. And so, see, you got to separate that stuff out when you make claims, though, because some of the government folks in China and Russia, North Korea, they are our enemies. However, the common man in Russia is not our enemy.
According to this guest that was interviewed, this program that was aired by Alex Jones, Putin actually, so you've heard of people that have had to, for one reason or another, worship in secret. Apparently, his family was Christian and they worshiped in secret. What better way to do the good you can than to get into politics and maybe protect the Christians or, you know, but that was according to his guest.
So my response on that is if you worship in secret because you have to, it's a good thing. If you defend the Christians politically, though, it's a good thing if you're defending the right principles, right?
Well, he kicked out a lot of those oligarchs that had pillaged and destroyed that country. But another thing I was going to say is communism, one of the things they wanted to do, one of their stated aims was to destroy monarchies. What monarch would want their country, the cost of their, and the expense in manpower, and the expense from the treasury, what country with a monarchy would want their country engaged in war 95% of their existence? It wouldn't make sense.
We were told
that our country was for a moral and a religious people, that it's inadequate to the governance of any other. Look at America now.
Well, that's right.
Homosexual marriage.
And that's why I bring
what they're teaching in school.
Diane.
It's no longer adequate.
Well, so it'll never be adequate for an immoral people. And that's kind of the problem is the people have become immoral and so have their institutions. I'm not advocating for a monarch. And I don't want to promote the overthrow of monarchs, per se. I believe the most pure form of government is a constitutional republic. And I don't believe that the Constitution's at fault, or the Bill of Rights are at fault, or the Declaration of Independence are at fault, or the biblical principles brought to bear by the Founding Fathers. I don't believe any of those things are at fault. I believe what is at fault is we the people have, they said you have a republic if you can keep it. We've failed to keep it because, hey, the people aren't engaged. They're involved in, as I've mentioned, bread and circus or blood and circus when it comes to war, bread and circus when it comes to fun and food and entertainment. And we don't focus on how to keep a republic, which is, hey, republics require strong families. Without that, we're melting down. However, I don't want to look to a different form of government as our solution. I want to look to the constitutional republic and our founding and a restoration of those principles as our solution. Because if there's any government in the world that has had success, it has been a constitutional republic.
We have been deceived. We think we have free press. We have controlled press. Look at that one woman who said that when it came to the reporting on Jeffrey Epstein, the British crown was pressuring them and threatening
them. Yeah, that's right.
And
so I asked on the radio yesterday when we talked about this moon hoax, I highlighted this point. Do you still believe there's a free press outside of government control? And your point's well taken. And we said clearly the answer is no.
Well, one of the men that was interviewing Jeffrey Epstein, he said that the Epstein power structure, they investigated the investigators. They were digging up dirt on everybody. They were threatening and.
And this is why I've told Larry. This is why I've told Larry Pratt that it seems like, hey, you know what? The inmates are in charge of the asylum. We are shanghaied, and the only way to stop it is for the American people to get involved in their greater numbers to be the answer to say we demand prosecution for criminal activity. Thanks, Diane. We agree with your points. Kurt Crosby in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
My goal is not to drop Diane, but I do want to highlight, you know, we agree with her points. You know, we call war peace and peace war, and it's all good's evil, evil's good. No doubt the Republic has become far afield from the intent of the Founding Fathers. But I want to promote a constitutional republic as the most pure form of government. You say, Sam, it's not working. I get it. You got to ask humbly, why is it not working? I say humbly because let's not think we know better. Let's not try to build a better mousetrap. Let's return to what made America the economic engine of the world. Let's return to what worked. If you want to look at the world's history, the Republican constitutional form of government the Founding Fathers put together, warning us against partisan politics, warning us against foreign entanglements, warning us against immorality, warning us against that the people can expect to be free and ignorant, they warned us about all the follies that we would face. And now every one of these are coming to pass. It is not the blame of the founders, of the morality of the people, and the necessity for that, the Constitution. Okay, we have the blueprint. And I don't want to really propose any options but to return to it. Now, there are good people in Russia that are doing way better than Americans in many cases. There's no doubt about that. Diane's right on that reality. All right, man finds job. After handing his resumes out on streets, he ought to be given a kudos, and I'm glad he found the job. That's phenomenal news. Donald Trump has fired, demoted, or suspended over 8,000 Veterans Affairs employees since taking office. This is huge, Kurt, because it might get that, government agency back on track, thinned out, doing what it was intended by the founders or in the first place. We have an obligation to take care of our veterans. That's one area that I do set aside a little bit and say, I don't think it's really socialism to defend those who have lost limb and life in harm's way. There's something to this, and I think Donald's on the right track here, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right, anything more on that one?
No.
All right, you got two communism stories we'll go to first. You mentioned a professor.
That's right. You got a professor who fled communism, quits communist university in America.
So wait a minute, this professor literally leaves communism, flees communism, comes to America, uses his incredible teaching skills, gets hired, does a great job, and goes, wait a minute, this is what I thought I fled from. I can't take this. I'm gone. Right?
Exactly, Sam.
And if that's not telling again to make Diane's point, I don't know what does, right?
Well, and it goes to your point about where the president says we'll never have socialism, and yet, if you examine what true socialism or communism is, you find, big parts of it are already instituted in America.
Sadly so, and I don't bring that up to attack President Trump. I do bring it up because I don't want you guys to believe it. Hey, we don't have it and it's not here. I agree with President Trump that hopefully we'll never become a truly socialist out in the open nation. But we need to remember we have a lot of socialism in our society and we've got to focus on stamping it out. And so I don't mean to attack President Trump over that point. I know that he's trying to think positive and say, hey, we'll never go that road. I pray he's right. But the first reality check to make sure we never go down that road is to highlight the problems with the road that we're on. And most importantly, point out, a better direction. A better way. And I submit that a return to the republic, a return to the principles that made America great, is the answer to do it again. Pure application of the principles that will restore the republic and use the rule of law, I believe, is the critical issue. But when a professor who flees from communism literally works for American institutions funded by our tax dollars and quits and says, hey, this thing is communist too, I can't take this, that should be a serious wake-up call for the American people to say, hey, we demand tax dollars stop flowing to these communist institutions. Kurt?
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jesus, words twisted.
Yeah, that's right. The headline reads, truly sinister, Jesus' words twisted to promote communism. And, you know, this has been going on forever. Any time you want, you can twist somebody's words or move them around, and then say they meant a certain thing, especially when they're not around to comment on it. But the bottom line is communism is anti-God. It's not godly, and the American system of free enterprise and the Constitution is exactly what I believe the God of heaven set in place as a blueprint for all nations.
And by the way, truly sinister Jesus words twisted to promote communism, Kurt. I don't know if you know, but the Loving Liberty organization, lovingliberty.net is their website. They have a radio network. We are one of the talk show hosts or talk shows on that network. We commend the Loving Liberty people because they are promoting an event coming up on December the 14th at what's called Liberty Hall, which is in Ogden, Utah. And Liberty Hall has an event where Lawrence Reed or Larry Reed, another talk show host, is going to come and present. Where is Jesus a socialist, or was Jesus a socialist, is the title of his talk. And he did a video on this, Kurt, this tremendous, that's been picked up by Dennis Prager at PragerU. And they've got many, 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 many hits on this thing. But the idea is, was Jesus a socialist? And Lawrence Reed painstakingly through the scriptures documents that Jesus was the furthest from a socialist you could possibly be. Incredible research by Lawrence Reed, incredible presentation, and it is available. Go to go to lovingliberty.net for more details. There's a flyer on that. It's on their Facebook page. We've tweeted out about it. It's at Liberty Hall. Get your tickets early because it's going to sell out, but it's a Saturday morning, December the 14th at 10 a.m., and it's going to be a tremendous presentation. Lawrence Reed is from Texas, I think. He's coming to Utah to present that. Sponsored by lovingliberty.net, Kurt. I think it's tremendous, and it responds to this very truly sinister Jesus words twisted to promote communism. Lawrence Reed is going to debunk that dishonest narrative. Honesty is the issue. Anyway, to learn more about that, though, lovingliberty.net. All right, a fight erupts over plan to quickly destroy government emails, Kurt. I don't understand.
Well,
what
yes.
About.
Well, you know, you've got these people that want to promote and say they want to talk about transparency in government and the Freedom of Information Act requests and all that kind of stuff. You know, like government's going to be honest and fair about sharing information that's behind, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Well, it's the furthest from the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Just find out by participating in that. You'll see that. You know, we've seen it ourselves in a personal way, how governments go, well, you know, you don't need that, or you didn't mean this, or whatever, and they're just moving forward in these
areas.
Yeah,
I don't think
they
should be able to destroy emails. I don't even know why that's up for discussion. But again, you know, hey, those who don't care about the Constitutional Republic, who don't care about transparency, who don't care about accountability, hey, they want to quickly destroy the government emails so you and I can't find out about their shenanigans and their dishonesty, Kirk. That's all.
Good point, Sam.
But again, if enough people don't stand up, hey, we're going to lose our, not only republic, but lose our ability to use these emails to find out the truth when something goes wrong. All right, Doug Weed's in the news. Kurt likes this guy. Kurt?
Well, he's a historian and a writer. He's done a lot of good, I think, a lot of good writing. In fact, we've even spent some time in the same room with him. He's seen these different presidencies over the years. You know, he's written a new book. It's called Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. I would expect that it's, you know, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be more truth in that book than all the books surrounding Donald that have come out thus far.
Yeah. I just wanted to give folks a heads up.
It's a book that's a recommended read. And by the way, Doug Weed is, you know, Kurt says, what is a Republican a lot? To highlight kind of the differences in views. Just because you put that Republican stamp on your name, that doesn't mean much. The views that you hold mean a lot. Doug Weed, maybe he's not as constitutional as we are, Kurt, but he's a lot more Ron Paul, Rand Paul-esque, Mike Lee-esque, a lot more constitutional, a lot more Republican platform focused is what I might describe it as, than many. He's a little bit libertarian leaning. I mean, he's way more our kind of guy than most by far. So when a book comes out from a guy like that, I believe that there's going to be a real open effort to tell you what's inside Trump's White House, the real story of his presidency. I think he's going to give a lot of tidbits that we didn't and don't know about maybe how religious President Trump is, about how, you know, they want you to believe that the White House is just a confused, crazy mess and Donald's just eating potato chips and watching TV all day and tweeting and that's all he does. You're going to get a perspective about what's really happening in a meaningful way here from Doug Weed. I have enough confidence in Doug to say I believe he's going to report a lot of good information here and a lot of stuff you probably don't know. And this is where the mainstream press wants you to believe everything about Donald is evil and negative and horrible. And okay, this is going to be the real story to a great degree. Now, I don't know every little line item that's even in the book yet because I haven't read it, but I'm saying to you that I believe this guy will be at least a fair analyst on this, Kurt, or a fair documenter of the inside or what he's seen and heard. And I think he'll be fair about it, just like I believe few others have.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Mm-hmm. That was the reason I brought it up.
What's his name's daughter? What's her name? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's been honest about what's going on in the White House. There's been a few that have.
Right.
But really, I believe
it's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be very tempting if you get offered millions of dollars to do some kind of a tell-all book, you know, for folks of any.
A lot of money, a lot of fame.
That's right.
All right, two final stories before the end of the hour. Iran discovers new oil field with over 50, billion barrels? And the U.S. ran its first petroleum surplus in at least 40 years, Kurt.
Well, it's because all these, you know, new dinosaurs have been dying, Sam, and, you know, so we're all, flush with the oil.
About, man?
Remember what they told us, Sam?
I'm just teasing.
For so many years.
Yeah, you're right,
they told
Kurt.
Us that, hey, you know, it's the, what did they call it? Fossil fuel, you know.
Yeah, that's a big old lie.
Well, I mean, it's, wouldn't it be nice to say, man, if the government says it, it's just fact.
It'd be nice, but so far from the truth, I can't even contemplate such an idea.
I know. And so now.
But Iran discovering new oil field, 50 billion barrels, Kurt. I think that might tie to the petrodollar, huh, buddy?
Well, it's connected, I guess you could say. But the one thing I liked and see is that, hey, we've said over and over that the earth has enough and to spare. If, and that's, you know, what God says about it, if we keep his commandments, he'll take care of us. So, you know, it's once again, hey, there's oil there that we need, and don't get too worried, but check out those Ten Commandments, baby.
And some would say there's your marching orders. I would say there's your sincere, heartfelt invitation from the Savior Jesus Christ himself. And we do our best to mirror that invitation as we do our best to follow the Prince of Peace. Now, I know I got a long way to go. I'm a pretty fallen dude, but I am trying. And I believe there's hope in my trying. And I encourage everyone to do the same. He says, come follow me, and, well, let's try to take it literally, shall we, folks? We'll be blessed if we do. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Donate at LibertyRoundtable.com.